I've been poppin', poppin', man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
8:07, good morning. Beautiful sunny day. No school now until September at least for your kids. Shaping up to be a very strange summer, even if we have a much more loose environment than we have right now. It's still going to be unlike any summer we've ever had. I just hope they expand that five number soon to include a few more people in public gatherings. Could we let our kids see some of their friends? I know the risk gets higher the more people you see, but this just, I don't know how long people can go on like this. You're seeing people cheating everywhere, everywhere. Saw a couple of things on social media yesterday. I made a little note to bring them up because while most stuff on social media these days is, it's maybe not as much BS as it was a year ago. They've gotten a little better cracking down on some of the misinformation.
A little better, yeah.
Yeah. But you may get a warning, and I saw this on Facebook. You may get a warning that you've been in contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. And you may be tempted to click on the link. Who wouldn't be, right?
Oh, boy.
Apparently it's a scam.
People are jerks. Trying to take advantage of you right at this time.
Who does that anytime, but especially at a time like this, right? To play on your fear. Imagine, oh, my God, I've been in contact with someone who has COVID-19. Oh, my God, you're going to click on that link. It would be very hard not to. So just be warned. I would then call Ottawa Public Health to see if they're trying to reach you. To my knowledge, Matt, they're not reaching people that
way. No, I don't think that's how they're doing it at all. But yeah, reach out to the source yourself.
They'll come knocking on your door if you've been in contact with someone who's had COVID-19. You'll know. Don't count on that. That's one. The other one's a little more interesting and totally should have thought of it. You're probably going to have some backyard barbecues this summer, right?
Of course.
We do that every summer. Now, you may be tempted to have some neighbors over, and they'll stay at least 6 feet away. I know it's happening all over my neighborhood. And up to five people, you, I guess, can do it now. It's hard to interpret the rules, but you're going to wash your hands a lot, right? Now, unless you're one of those people who has a running water outside, I've always wanted to have an outdoor kitchen with running water. I think it'd be so awesome. But I don't. What are you going to do? How are you going to wash your hands if you're serving people? You're at the barbecue. You're going to run in and out all the time, touching the doorknobs.
The hose, maybe?
The garden hose, one option. What's another one?
Hand sanitizer?
Hand sanitizer. Right. Congratulations, Matt. You win the prize.
Okay.
Hand sanitizer. They demonstrated in this social media post what happens when hand sanitizer comes in close contact with flames.
Oh, boy.
You know those invisible flames that guys get when they're working in the pits at a car race?
Yeah.
Where they're running around screaming like they're on fire, but they don't seem to be on fire, but they are on fire. That's what happens with hand sanitizer. Before you even realize your hands are on fire, you will receive very bad burns. And you don't have to get as close to the flames as you thought. Do not use hand sanitizer. Then put your hands over the barbecue flame. Don't do it.
Man.
Thought that was a very important warning. Okay, but circling back to this idea that people take advantage of these tough times, I saw another social media post from a guy who owns the On the Bend Sugar Shack. It's a local guy. Frank Herkins is his name. He's vice president of the Ontario Maple Syrup Producers Association. Did you know that somebody broke into them during these tough times? Somebody stole from them as they struggle to survive. You know anyone who's, this is a farm-related industry. It's farming. You know what a struggle this is? Maple syrup, sugar shacks, all that. Just as their season was beginning, boom, the hammer came down. Frank is on the line now. How you doing, Frank?
Good morning. Doing very well. Thank you very much.
I know
day.
You told Matt that the break-in on the big scale of things wasn't that big a deal, but it just sort of adds insult to injury, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's you do a lot of hard work. You know, you try to make a good quality product. You know, to give to the people, and it's an expensive product too.
What did they take?
They took. They were pretty smooth because it took us a couple of days to see it because they had all the little bottles lined up like soldiers, but everything behind the bottles was stolen, and mostly glass bottles. Took some plastic also, and you know it's. You know, and yeah, I guess in the big scheme of things, what's going on today, it's not a lot, but it hurts. It hurts that someone's been in your property. It hurts that you've done all this hard work and to make this product, you know, to sell for income, and it's gone. It's disappeared. So we've increased our security system there. So hopefully, this will not happen again.
I take it they took bottles of syrup, though, not just empty glass.
No, bottles of full syrup, good quality syrup. The quality and the quantity of syrup this year was exceptional all through Ontario. And
so if somebody tries to sell you on the Ben Sugar Shack maple syrup off the back of a truck, call the police. Don't take advantage of somebody's misfortune. What's it been like for you guys? Did I describe it pretty accurately that your season had just started and then this thing hit?
Yes, and it's been exceptionally difficult. Like you had mentioned, I'm the vice president for Ontario Maple Syrup Maple Syrup Producer Association of Ontario, and we're holding weekly meetings with all the executives to try to help our 600 member organization into these tough times. The pancake houses have been hit exceptionally hard. Some of them losing up to 90% of their income of the year, and then on top of that,
because they invite people in for pancakes. And it's what, a month long, a little bit longer period of time?
About 6 weeks of good, steady flow of people. This year was an exceptional year that every weekend was a sunny weekend. So the crowds would have been fantastic this year. Maple Weekend, we anticipated with the advertising that the province has done that this was going to be the biggest Maple Weekend of the year, which is the first weekend of April. And we were expecting somewhere between 30,000 and 50,000 people to flood the pancake houses over the province.
Man, oh man. I'm glad I got into Stanley's Farm before it all shut down and had it. We try to do a couple of those weekends every spring, and it's a real shame, and I know it's tough. So the rest of the year, though, you're selling maple syrup. People are still eating the product, though, I hope.
The product in the grocery stores through the IMSI, the International Maple Syrup Institute, has predicted that it has been brisk and above average. People have been buying locally. Ourselves, personally, we're at 50% of sales, what we normally would be, and most of it has been delivery, contactless delivery. And the outpouring of the people from yesterday was unbelievable. I am thankful for all the people who contacted us, wishing us the best after this dreadful thing that happened to us.
You guys need to do like a summer pancake weekend or week. Have pancakes for breakfast this week to help local producers. Make it a campaign. Get radio airtime and get the media to come out and cover it and encourage us all to go to the grocery store and buy local product. Come on, Frank, get on this. We'll help you out.
We're actually considering a fall Maple Weekend at the same time that the leaves are turning color. Again,
you know, Frank, the depth of my genius never fails to amaze me.
I know. I'm amazed. But if you're thinking of it, Bill, if you're thinking of it, then there will be thousands of others that will think about it also.
So what you're saying is, if someone as dumb as me can come up with that idea, it's got to be a good one. Everyone else, a lot of smarter people, have to have already thought of it. I think it's excellent. Meantime, buy Ontario maple syrup. Help out the producers because it's a tough, tough year. Do that, and then we'll look forward to that special week in the fall. And when it happens, Frank, you come on. We'll make sure we promote the hell out of it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your concerns.
And don't buy on the bench Sugar Shack off the truck somewhere. It's been stolen. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Frank Hirkins, Vice President of the Ontario Maple Syrup Producers Association, and he got robbed.
Man.
One of the toughest times in his business's life. 8:17, The Morning Rush.
Ottawa is open for business.
The new Oak Tree opened its doors again yesterday to the great relief of the local owners, I am sure. Wanted to put them on because they've been a supporter of local radio for years. So got to help each other at a time like this. They've paid a lot of salaries around here over the years, and now, like everybody else, they're struggling. So Terry Cole joins us, co-owner of the new Oak Tree. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Bill.
I know you've been itchy. You've been anxious to get back. How'd it feel yesterday?
Oh, man, I tell you, this time yesterday I was nervous. We really didn't know what to expect, and we knew that there would be some pent-up demand out there, but we really didn't expect it on day one. So we had much better average traffic in the store for a Tuesday and really good sales.
Oh, that's great news. I guess pent-up demand, right? And people just want to get out, too.
Yeah, I think so. It was great to see many of our old customers back in the store again. And, I mean, it just felt fantastic to have the staff back, too.
Yeah, I guess. I would think, I mean, I've been in some of your locations on a weekend when it could get pretty busy. But generally, the stores are big. They're spread out. It's not a place you're going to run into massive crowds. So this can't be too big an adjustment for you, right? You want to spend time with each customer. You don't want to line up out the door anyway.
Yeah, we're not like a big box store. We don't get hundreds of customers coming through the doors every day. You know, if we get 10, 15, or 20 customers through the doors every day, we're happy with that. We're more of a one-on-one service type of company. So that's basically, it's an easy adjustment for us to have. To have two or three customers in the store is usually the max we have, and so it's easy for us.
When I last saw you in person at the Carlton Place store, I remember commenting that one of your staff was cleaning the furniture, and I said, that must take a lot of time. How many times a week do you guys shine and polish up the furniture? And you said, not how many times a week. You go from one end of the store and finish, and then you come back and start over again, right? So keeping the store clean is something you guys do anyway because you want the furniture not to get dusty and to look good.
We've been practicing that for years. Eunice, our cleaner here at the Carlton Place store, is one of our oldest serving employees.
Yeah, so what are you doing that you weren't doing before?
Well, we have lots of hand sanitizer within the stores. We've made aisles wider where necessary. Of course, we talked about cleaning. We've changed our hours to accommodate a private shopping experience. So it's really all about making your customers and staff feel safe. So if a customer feels safer on a one-on-one experience with a salesperson with nobody else in the store, we can make those arrangements. All they have to do is contact one of our locations, and we will arrange to meet them one-on-one, no other customers, no other salespeople in the stores.
What are the time restrictions on that?
Well, we're going to, you know, we changed our hours. We open at 10 o'clock in the morning, so we can do from 8 to 10 in the morning, and we now close at 5 instead of 6 o'clock, so we could do from 5 to 6 or 7 or however long it takes.
That's a great idea. Oftentimes, that's the experience at your store anyway, so now you're just formalizing it so that people can be assured that they won't see anybody else in the store at the time, that it's all theirs.
Absolutely. That's what it's about.
Fantastic idea. You're locally owned. You employ a lot of people in your stores. But because you source handcrafted furniture mostly from local craftspeople, well, they're all local, that's a lot of jobs too, right? A lot of families being fed.
Yeah, it was really tough when we were forced to close, I guess, 2 months ago now, and actually lay off all of the staff, as a matter of fact. It was really, really tough to do that. But, you know, we've been looking forward to this day for months now, and we've been preparing for this day. We actually thought we wouldn't be able to open till June the 1st, but we were prepared. We hit the ground running. We had some of our staff come in voluntarily last week to prepare for this. I mean, that's the type of people that work for us. And so we hit the ground running yesterday, and that's because of the great staff we have.
Congratulations. Welcome
back.
Thank you very much. Tell people where your locations are, and you can squeeze in that deal you have on right now, too, if you want, Terry.
Yeah, so we have a location in Navan, Pembroke, and Carlton Place. And right now, if people come in, we will give you, with a $50 in-store donation to the Ottawa First Responders Foundation, which is for firefighters, police officers, and paramedics, $50 in-store donation gives you 25% off any solid wood product in the store.
Amazing. Thank you, Terry. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Bill.
Terry Cole, one of the owners of the New Oak Tree. They're back in business. Private shopping appointment, too. That's a great idea. If you're feeling a little uncomfortable, they got you covered. So, pretty awesome. If you want to be featured on Ottawa's Open for Business, email Matt at morningrush@cfra.com. Morningrush@cfra.com. You got one booked for tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I don't have a Friday yet, so there's a chance you can get on this week.
Man, it's a short week, so that's just in a couple of days.
Exactly.
Morningrush@cfra.com. Wow, they are thinking of postponing one of the world's biggest annual events. We'll talk about that coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
8:39, 30 minutes from now, just a little less than that, the Education Minister, Stephen Lecce, will join us on the show. We have been granted 7 minutes from the minister. 7 minutes. So we'll try to use those 7 minutes wisely. That's coming up right after the 9 o'clock news. The Ontario Education Minister about this school year, which will, well, it'll end at home. Kids are not going back till September, at least. He said it's going to look very different. See if we can get a hint of what that may look like. And when he said the online learning component will continue, I got to push him on that because I think it's been pretty crappy. I think they've done a terrible job with the online component. Starting with, remember that bad TV Ontario website they gave out the first week? That thing was just useless. To where we are today, which is, I think the teachers could put in more hours and communicate with their students more. But someone has to organize it for them. That's not on them. So anyway, we'll talk about that coming up. Right now, Richard Krause is here from, our movie segments that you know so well. There's a big event that may not happen, and it's still a long ways off. We want to talk about that. But Richard, I noticed you posted something on social media, and I wanted to say I didn't know that you were such a radio guy. I think of you as a movie guy first, TV guy, but on this 100th anniversary of radio, you seem like you grew up loving the medium.
I did. I grew up listening to CKBW radio in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, and, you know, all the jocks whose name I can all remember, you know, Bill Mosier, Al Purdy. There were just so many of them that I grew up listening to, and I ended up working there. It was my first radio gig when I was about 16, and I was doing weekends, which meant that I had to write obituaries and do those on the air. I had to host a country music show. I did a late night rock and roll show. I read the news. I did the sports. I just loved every second of it. And they fired me, as they should have, because I wasn't particularly good at it.
Well, I didn't want to say.
But man, it was fun. It was so much fun, and it was an exciting time to be there as a 16-year-old. Even if it was country music, which wasn't my thing at the time, it was so much fun to be able to do that gig.
And those voices on the radio were local stars, right? I mean, you could go to the local grocery store. They might be doing a remote broadcast. You could actually see them or pick up the phone. You might get through.
Oh, absolutely. And it was amazing the connection that people in that community had with the people on the radio. And, you know, for a year or so, I was one of them. And Saturday nights, man, that phone would just light up with people that wanted to talk to you, make requests, you know, give you some input. It was a little different then. I think the input was generally positive back then rather than the stuff that we get these days on a regular basis. But the thing that I learned at that radio station, and it's the thing that has stayed with me throughout my career, and really when I was putting together the TV show Pop Life, it stuck with me, and that was when I was being let go from that job because I was just spewing facts and figures up between the songs. I would say, well, the Rolling Stones had 5 number one hits, and they'd be whatever it was that I would say, but it was all trivia. And my program director brought me in and said, you know, nobody really cares about that. They wouldn't know about you. And this is the thing that stayed with me throughout my career and is the guiding principle. He said, people want to hear about people. They want to hear about you, and that has stayed with me ever since. So even though he let me go, I was I got the lesson that gave me a career.
Yeah, I remember one time I really wanted to get a song played. It was the Doobie Brothers' China Grove.
Mm-hmm.
So I called every local radio station in Toronto and Hamilton about 100 times using a different voice on their answering machine.
Right.
Hi, it's Joe from Scarborough. Can you play the Doobie Brothers' China Grove? Hi, this is Jack from North York. Can you play the Doobie Brothers' China Grove? Well, not surprisingly, they're not stupid. And so I'm listening to the radio, and I hear the DJ talking to me. Hey, buddy, the guy who's jamming up our request lines, we'll find you.
That's funny.
It was terrifying. I thought he's going to call the police. But you know what he did next? He played the Doobie Brothers' China Grove, and I had influenced what was being played on the radio, and I loved it.
Yep.
I was addicted. Anyway, Canada Post has issued a 100th anniversary stamp and to commemorate radio's 100 years in Canada today. It's pretty cool. Go on our social media and tell us how radio has affected your life. Thank you for sharing that story.
I just posted on my Facebook and Twitter a promo from when I used to do country music shows when I was 16, and it's up there on my Facebook right now.
So it's quite funny. Hear that. Okay, the real reason you're here, the Film Academy is considering postponing the 2021 Oscars.
There's a lot of ifs and buts here so far. They haven't made a decision yet, but right now the telecast is set for February 28th, 2021. So we're still a ways out. The trouble right now is that they're afraid that a lot of the films that would normally be under consideration by the Academy simply aren't going to be released. And there have been some things that have happened. There's been some movement. Tom Hanks has a big new film coming out called Greyhound, which was one of the films that people were looking forward to, thinking it was going to be an Oscar contender. He is not only the star, but the director of this movie, and he just sold it to Apple TV. And so my prediction that these big movies, these big expensive movies, wouldn't go to streaming is slowly being chipped away here. Now, Apple TV apparently are willing to pay virtually anything for content right now, so that might be what happened here with the movie Greyhound. But generally speaking, a lot of the other movies that we had hoped to see in Oscar contention just simply might not find a release. And so there may not be.
Is it possible even the Bond movie may go direct to video?
I just don't see it happening. And I mean, anything could happen. I mean, we're living in a topsy turvy world. But the James Bond movie, from what I'm reading, cost a little over $200 million to make.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can make that kind of money on streaming just doesn't feel possible to me right now. I mean, I think particularly as things are being relaxed, more people are getting up and getting out of the house. We're not glued to our televisions as, you know, I think we have here at our house anyway for the last couple of months. So I just don't think there's that built-in captive audience that there was for the movie The Trolls World Tour, which made quite a lot of money on streaming and seemed to set this new standard. Oh, we can release a big movie on streaming and it can make $100 million. But it was a kids' movie at a time when kids are stuck inside, sick of homeschooling. Parents just wanted them to be distracted. So, of course, everybody bought and downloaded this thing, and it made a lot of money. I don't know if that's going to happen every single time out, and I don't think that the Fast and Furious of the world and the James Bonds of the world are going to go streaming. I just
tell
don't
you
see
what,
it happen.
I'd pay $30 on a Friday night to be able to watch the Bond movie with the family.
Yep, and what that represents, it's you, Sylvie, and the kids. So. 30, I'm just trying to think how much money that would be. That represents a loss of ticket sales of probably about $30.
A lot of people would never go to the Bond movie in the theater. They'd wait for it to be released later anyway. They might pay the $30 too. I mean, we're desperate right now.
Yeah.
Desperate. So the bottom line is, even if you they could get together in one room and give away Oscars because social distancing had been relaxed. They may not have enough product to really do it. So
they may not have it, and no decision has been made yet. So this is a rumor that we're hearing. We'll probably know later today or tomorrow, certainly by the end of the week. The Academy will make a definitive statement on this, either denying or confirming it.
Well, I'd be interested to know. Just before I let you go, I wanted to play, you usually bring clips with you of movies.
Yeah.
I brought a clip with me. Just listen.
Hi, this is Bill McNeil inviting you to join me Saturday, 12 to 6, for the best in country music as we spend Saturday in the country right here at 1000 Radio CKBW. Then following the 6 o'clock news at 6:10, you can listen to the week's Top 30 Country Songs as Richard Krause joins you for the Top 30 Country Countdown. And don't forget at 8, it's Country Road, country music at CKBW, a winning combination. So why not plan to spend Saturday in the country with the music people, CKBW.
Did Bill mention your name?
That is the first time in about 40 years that's been heard on the radio. And the thing that I love about it, he called it 1000 country radio. It was 1,000 on the AM dial. And it came out, or I was on there, at the same time that the movie 10 came out. So we used to call it at night, a perfect 10 on your radio.
Ooh, that's why you're in TV now. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Bill.
Our movie guy, Richard Krause. 8:49, The Morning Rush.
Now, The Inbox. Everybody's talking about. On News Talk 580 CFRA.
Some comments about schools and the school year now going on without ever going back into the building. This school year will not happen in the buildings. And don't forget, the education minister is going to join me in just a few minutes here, right after the 9 o'clock news. Wendy says, at Matt Harris, I have students in VARs who are extremely poor internet connection, even with the Wi-Fi stick supplied by the board. And Evan says, at Bill Carroll Talk, sorry to tell you, but at Matt Harris is right. Hashtag poor connection. Now, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But I'm here to tell you, Matt, that that's only two people.
No, I understand that.
You can't hold back the education of everybody because their internet connection in a couple of places out in the country is poor.
I'm just saying, I think it's a bigger issue than we realize.
They could listen in. They don't have to see it. In fact, when my kids, the few Zoom classes they've done, they didn't even check in on the video. They watch, but they didn't participate. Right. So there are lots of ways around this. Come on. Lola says, I remember marching out to school with General Grant every morning to Forward Ho on CFRA. People remembering radio on the 100th anniversary today. Donald says the only reason they waited so long to announce that school would not resume so they could keep on paying full salaries to the teachers. By the way, more kids have died in car accidents than from COVID-19. Since this has started, there's no risk that is measurable to the kids. Yeah, I doubt more kids have died in car accidents since this started, though, because they're not going out. Also, car accidents not contagious.
No.
You can't pass the car accident along to your grandmother. It's kind of a false Donald Trump sort of narrative, isn't it? And Zaid says, good luck applying social distancing at school. If one family has it and send theirs to school, half a neighborhood can end up infected. The education minister joins me coming up next.